Our retro report this week takes us back to the forensic labs of the 1970s and 80s. Fiber evidence, analysis of hairs and strands of fiber, played a key role in solving crimes.
Scientists say they can take one hair from a crime scene, isolate its DNA, and match it with a sample from a suspect.
At the FBI, in one of the nation's foremost forensic laboratories, they are running extensive tests, determining how the agency can take advantage of the new technology.
The use of hair and DNA analysis was presented as definitive, but deeper testing showed that in some cases, seemingly identical pieces of hair could come from different people. Suddenly, there was a crisis in the evidence room.
The hairs didn't come from the same individual. We started talking about, well, what did we see? Why did we think it didn't match? How good are we, in a sense? There's always that chance that you might be wrong. We never really knew what that chance was.
It was questionable fiber evidence that convicted Kirk Odom, who served more than 20 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit.
I didn't get a chance to raise my daughter. She barely knows me. That really hurts.
The consequences of fiber evidence and the mistakes that can be made is the subject of this week's Retro Report. And joining us, Scott Michaels, a reporter who produced this week's segment. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So how much was this a real, you know, fad is the wrong word, but at one point it seemed everything was based on fiber analysis.
Yeah, I mean, hair analysis was a very common type of evidence, probably one of the most common types of evidence. You know, if you think about how often hairs fall off your head, anytime there were violent crimes or sex crimes, it's very likely that hair evidence would be found at the crime scene. And microscopic analysis of hairs was something that was done really for more than 100 years. There are cases dating back to the 1800s.
But with the development of DNA evidence testing and, you know, sort of the ability to look down at the molecular level, suddenly it got presented as maybe more definitive than it turned out to be. How did that work?
Well, you know, the science behind microscopic hair analysis was always pretty limited, and it was never really strong enough to say definitively that a particular hair could come from a particular person with absolute certainty. And there were no population studies or statistics that would let you answer the question of how often two different people might have hairs that look exactly the same. And so really all that the examiners, the hair and fiber examiners, should have said when they testified in court was that two hairs were similar.
When the FBI looked back at cases that might have been improperly prosecuted on the basis of this evidence, what did they find?
Well, you know, they're still in the middle, actually, of doing a landmark review of several thousand cases from back from the 80s and 90s, from the days before DNA. And so we really actually don't know quite yet what they're going to find. They're going to have to go back and review the cases to see if the testimony was improper. And then lawyers, you know, prosecutors and defense attorneys are going to have to go back and sift through the evidence to see whether or not the hair evidence, you know, led to the conviction and whether or not other people, innocent people, are in prison.
How crucial was that for Kirk Odom, the fiber evidence?
The hair evidence in his case, was very important. I guess there were really two things that helped convict him. You know, the victim did identify him in a lineup, and then an FBI hair expert testified and basically linked the hairs that were found at the crime scene to Kirk Odom's hair. So they were very important in his case.
And how did he feel about this evidence pinning him for a crime that he never committed?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think for anyone who's wrongfully convicted of a crime, obviously it's pretty devastating. But, I mean, he even told us that, you know, that he could see how the jury would have thought that he did it.
Finally, are defense attorneys more skillful at challenging this sort of evidence based on the history?
With advent of DNA, we've been forced to sort of confront the limitations of science. And I think defense attorneys and others have become more knowledgeable about the limitations of science. And now that we do have DNA testing, you know, the type of hair analysis that convicted Kirk Odom really is less of an issue because very frequently you can test the hairs for DNA.
Scott Michaels is a Retro Report producer on this week's report about the inconsistencies in hair analysis in crime labs. To see a video of Retro Report's findings, you can visit thetakeaway.org. Scott, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.